Dylan Tabish.
Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Did you speak to the Evergreen Chamber yesterday, or is that
no? I'll
up?
Be there in a couple Fridays.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Earth Day actually.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's fitting.
You may be in a little bit of trouble.
Uh oh.
We were talking with the executive director and another person yesterday, and said, "I'll bet you can't stump Dylan Tabish."
Oh no! Yeah, I am in trouble. I'm easy to stump.
I've never run into anybody that knows more about what's going on with FWP than you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, that's what they pay me for. I like to tell people I know a little bit about a lot, but not a lot about a lot. So I can share enough information to get the basics covered.
Yeah, you and I are a lot alike, you know, 5 miles wide and about an inch deep.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. I probably get that from my journalist days. Yeah. You know, I'm curious about a lot of things. And so this job keeps me learning.
Oh, we've got a potential project going on now, and you'd like our input.
Yeah, this is a pretty important, pretty neat project. So we are seeking public input on a proposal to protect about 33,000 acres of private timberland west of town between Kalispell and Libby, some of that former timberland. So lands that for generations were owned by our timber companies, Plum Creek, Weyerhaeuser, they've been selling over the last decade. And there's a large section, 33,000 acres, that the landowner, Green Diamond Resource Company, they're the timber company that now owns that land, they are working with us to protect that land with a conservation easement. And so that conservation easement would mean they would maintain ownership, so they keep the land. We would put an easement on that land, which would limit some of the uses on that land. So essentially what it does is it prevents it from being developed or subdivided. It allows them to continue doing timber work, so it's positive for timber jobs and forest work. It requires them to allow permanent public access. So that's a big one. Obviously, you know, like I said, back in the day, there was almost 1 million acres of timberland in this region that was allowed for hunting and fishing. And so those timber companies generously allowed people to use those lands for free. And well, over time, those lands have sold and people have been worried, are we going to lose access to those lands? And one of the ways that we can protect that access is these conservation easements. And so we've done a lot of them over the years. We have almost 250,000 acres in this region now under conservation easement. And again, that checks 3 big boxes for us that makes it worth our time and money. It protects public access. It allows them to continue doing forest work, and it's good for wildlife habitat. So that land is staying open, and they have to do some sustainable practices on that land.
You know, you make an interesting point here. I'm just thinking back to when I was a kid, which was about almost 3/4 of a century ago now, and we never worried about where we went hunting or fishing. We never worried about where we went camping. We just went where we wanted to go, and we pitched a tent wherever we felt like it. And boy, was I shocked to find out you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we've been so blessed here in Northwest Montana to have so much public land, you know, Forest Service land, state DNRC land that we've been able to hunt on, and also these timber lands. These timber companies for over 100 years have allowed hunters to go out. I harvested my first deer on timber Plum Creek land down by Sealy Lake when I was a kid, and that it's almost something you can take for granted because we've had it forever. But here in the last decade, like I said, those lands have changed ownership, and some owners come in and say, well, unfortunately, you know, some people are abusing these lands. You see the stuff that people are doing on these lands. And so some private landowners are saying, sorry, no way I'm letting people come out here and trash these lands. Yeah. So we're very lucky to have a landowner like Green Diamond who's saying, let's protect this land for the public, let's protect it for the animals, and let's protect it for forestry jobs.
Okay, now what about adjacent, are there other, is this a chain of conservation projects that are coming together?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Robin. So yes, we've worked over the last decade, really, to try to put together the puzzle pieces of these conservation easements as best we can. They're big projects. I mean, these are landscape scale projects, 33,000 acres. This is just phase one. Now, if we can get this one pulled off, we'd like to do another 50,000 that's a next puzzle piece next to it. And you're absolutely right. What it's doing is connecting public lands, it's connecting corridors for wildlife like deer and elk and moose, and it's also protecting large landscapes for hunting and fishing. So, Yeah, it's all strategic. You know, we're not just taking piecemeal approaches here randomly. We're trying to connect, you know, Western Montana with, you know, the Cabinet Mountains, with the Whitefish Range. That's good for wildlife. That's good for hunters. It's good for these forests. It's really helping these timber companies.
And where would the pushback for something like that come from?
Well, you know, in Western Montana, there's not a lot of pushback. I mean, you talk to folks who are hunters, who are just wildlife advocates. They see the value in this. The tricky thing, if I'm being completely honest, it's expensive. You know, we got an appraisal, and this is no surprise to anybody. Land prices in Montana have like skyrocketed. So this project has almost doubled and tripled in cost. And so this project is going to cost, if we can move forward with it, about $40 million. And so that's a big price tag. And so where's that money coming from is important. So because I know people right now are, you know, struggling to get their budgets taken care of, and they're worried maybe is this going to impact them, and it's not. This project would be funded by three ways. It's funded through Habitat Montana, which is a program that uses fees from hunting licenses. So people who buy their hunting licenses are supporting the purchase of this project. The Forest Legacy Program is providing over $20 million, and the Forest Legacy Program gets land and water conservation funds, which is oil and gas royalties. So LWCF uses oil and gas royalties to fund conservation projects. And then the second one is private fundraising from the Trust for Public Land. So they're an organization that just does private fundraising, and they're an amazing conservation advocate. So those are the three big ones. This one's unique too. Green Diamond is sacrificing 35% of the project's cost in in-kind donations. So they're sacrificing $15 million off that appraisal. So they're trying to make this work too, because they know, man, this is an expensive project. We're going to need to gather every penny we can. So they're trying to help us make this project work as well.
Now, as far as these lands, they're not islands that are not accessible through private property, are they?
Nope, these are not going to be landlocked. No, because there's concerns. That's a good question. There's concerns when, you know, you have public lands or properties that are just landlocked and you can't get to them. And it's like, well, what's the point? So no, this is going to be very easily accessible for hunters. It's a large section of important land. So we're asking for the public to say, hey, is this worth it? Because like I just said, this is going to be a hefty price tag. We think we can pull it off, but we aren't going to make an investment in something like this unless we think the public wants it. So if you're opposed to it, let us know too. We do want to hear. If there are concerns, we want to hear about it. So, but this one, I think a lot of folks are seeing the value in it and how it's kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to protect this land forever. And that, and just to make it clear too, because easements are kind of confusing. Even if the timber company down the road, you know, years from now does sell it, that easement stays with the land. So whoever the next landowner is, if they ever is one, that protections all stay in place. So it's not like it's, you know, well, if they sell the land, it all goes away. So,
well, that's the next best thing to public land, owning that land.
I think it is. I personally think it is, because it's maintaining private property ownership. They're paying taxes just like everybody, but it also maintains public wildlife conservation and public access.
Yeah. All right. So let's spend a couple of minutes reviewing the conservation licenses. Have we had much concern about that coming your way?
No, you know, it's the questions you guys asked, really good questions last time, and it's still just trying to educate folks about them, where they need to have them. So any state land, you need to have a conservation license now. So if you're going to go picnic at Old Steel Bridge or go take your family to throw some rocks in Flathead Lake at Summers Fishing Access Site, you do need a conservation license. It's $8. $6 for kids. So, and that's good for the year. So you buy your conservation license today and you're good through the rest of our license year, which is through the end of February. And so you can buy it at a sporting goods store. You can go to any of our local sporting goods stores. You can go online. You can come to our Fish, Wildlife, and Parks office, buy your conservation license. You can have it in paper or you can get it on your phone. You can take a picture of it if you don't want to carry it around. Just something so if you're at our sites, you're going to have that license. And all it's doing really is helping pay for the cost. You go to these sites and they're hopefully all clean and safe, and that costs money. And in the past, hunters and anglers were the ones funding those costs, and now we're trying to spread it out so everybody's helping pay their fair share for these amazing access sites.
No. So this conservation license is included in your hunting and fishing license.
Yes. Yeah.
But this means that everybody in the family's got to have a conservation permit.
Correct. Yeah.
It's not like one per carload or something.
No, yeah. It's not like Glacier Park. Okay. We tried to, when the legislature passed this, we were trying to come up with ideas to make it work. Yeah. You know, is it a sticker on your car? And some states do that. Other states, you do different things. And we kind of thought, the conservation license is already a thing. Hunters and anglers are aware of it. And it's
like
pretty
getting
simple.
A duck stamp or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's, I think I got one, I think it was only $4.
Yeah, I think seniors and youth, it's $4. Not to say you're a senior. I'm not making any assumptions, Robin.
Senior to you.
Senior, that's right. Yes, yes. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's $4 for that, and then $8 for residents, and then I think $10 or $12 for non-residents.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's good that people are complying with that.
Yeah,
that
it's an education.
Yeah, that could be a real shock.
It can. Yeah. It can. And our wardens understand that. You know, they're not going and hiding behind trees trying to bust people. We're just trying to make sure that these sites remain safe and clean and accessible. And we can get more sites, hopefully, down the road. I mean, everybody loves our access sites.
And the wake-up was for me. I'd forgotten about it. I drove in, and there's a medallion on the sign. And I go, what is that? Oh, conservation license. Mm-hmm. Hey, but they have a phone number. You can do it online.
Yeah, good.
It works out good.
Good, I'm glad.
Hurry up and do it before the warden comes up and asks for
it. Yeah,
yeah. In fact, I used my smartphone then.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Well, I'm glad, and I appreciate it. And it's those dollars aren't just going into some random general fund, and you know that gets lost in the government, warehouse. Those monies go directly to those access sites, and so what's helping keep those access sites clean, keep the dog poop cleaned up, and keeping it a fun place to take the family.
The porta potty's emptied.
Yes, exactly.
Dylan Tabish, as always, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.